Poslušate SBS Slovenije. Spoštovane poslušalke, dragi poslušalci, poslušate slovensko oddajo na radiju SBS. Sedaj pa vam ponujam nekaj povsem drugačnega, ker vemo, da ste tako rekoč bombardirani z novicami koronavirusa tedne in tedne. In sem si rekla, zakaj pa ne bi danes gostili eno čudovito žensko, ki je na nek način zaznamovala tudi moje življenje, davnega leta ne vem katerega. Ampak sem zelo vesela, da na drugi strani telefonske linije pozdravljam vsestransko glasbenico, avtorico in še bi lahko naštevala, tako da bom sedaj kar preskočila v angleščino. Lynn Marie Horvat from Nashville, Tennessee. So good to hear your voice, so good to be for hosting you on our Slovenian program today.
Oh, thank you so much for calling. This is awesome to talk to you and all your listeners today.
It's our pleasure. And I don't think we've ever had you on our show, on our program. And I thought it would be a very nice change and actually a very good idea to introduce you to speak more about you and your life and your work and especially about your music. And maybe to those that don't know you, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? How and why are you involved in Slovenian music?
Absolutely. So my grandparents came from Slovenia in the 1920s, from the Gradec area in Drastjevac. My grandfather, his name was Miha Hrovat, and my grandmother was Johanna Vidic. And they came to the United States in the early 1920s. They did not know each other in Slovenia, but when they came, they lived just six blocks away from each other in Cleveland, Ohio, and they got married, and they had 11 children, and my father was one of them, and that's how I came to have a Slovenian heritage.
That's so interesting, because we know that a lot of Slovenians immigrated in that time, and also after yes. World War II. So how was it like growing up in Slovenian community?
You know, it's the only thing I ever knew. My grandparents spoke Slovenian only in the house, but my parents wanted us to be as American as possible, so they, of course, spoke English. So I did learn a little bit of the Slovenian language growing up, but mostly my exposure was from the music. I remember specifically when my mother would get a new Lojze Slok album, and she would put it on the stereo system, and I would sit and listen to it over and over and over. And at that point, then my grandparents would talk about what they remembered or knew of the Slovenian countryside and the people, and that's where my love of Slovenia began.
So when was the first time you actually visited Slovenia?
The first time was in 1989 on a tour from, there's a travel agency in Cleveland, Ohio, Colander World Travel, and they organize tours and polka tours. And so the first time I went was 1989 with a polka band, and we traveled to Germany and Switzerland and Austria, and then we ended up in Slovenia for a day. And that was the first time that I got to meet my relatives in the Gradec and Jujenberg area, the Lenska region, with my father, which was a really special visit.
Yeah, I bet it was. So did you find it so much different than Ohio, where you lived all your...
yeah, it was completely different. But what I found so fascinating was my father and his first cousin, right? So my dad's father, Miha, was the one who came to America, and then his brother, Ivan, stayed in Slovenia. There were, I think, eight kids total, and four came to America and four stayed in Slovenia. And one of his first cousins, Gabor Hrovat, from the Jujenberg area, was one. And to sit and watch my father and his first cousin across the table from each other, they had met for the first time, and yet they had the same mannerisms and the same... they would do the same kind of things with their hands or intonations in their voices. And that's when I realized for the first time how deep the genes were, right? Where these two people had never met before, yet they seemed so similar to me.
That is fascinating. Yeah, and then when did you start playing button accordion?
So I started when I was 11. You know, my dad played a piano accordion, and I just saw him light up a room with the music, and I wanted to be just like him, and I wanted to be able to entertain people like that. And at the time, the piano accordion was too big and for me as an 11-year-old girl. And honestly, there was a resurgence in the 1970s because of Loisa's Flock in the Cleveland area of the button accordion. And so it became a very popular instrument in that area to play. And so I, of course, wanted to play it. And then I started playing it, and I never ended up playing any other instrument, but I fell in love with the button accordion. And mostly because I had already been exposed to the Slovenian culture from, there was my aunt, my brother's, my father's sister. She was very involved in the Slovenian culture as well, and she would teach the little kids in the neighborhood the Slovenian language on Saturday mornings. We had a Slovenian national home, just like a gathering place that we would meet, and we would have Slovenian lessons there, and we would learn how to speak and sing in Slovenian. That's where I learned songs like Mi smo radi and Na planinca and Bud Moja and all these Slovenian folk songs that became so dear to me. And so after singing it for a few years, then I was ready to play an instrument, and I picked up a button accordion, and mostly, honestly, because of listening to the Loisa Flock records that my mom would play.
So you've been performing for a while, and you don't play just typical polka songs. Your music meets rock, country, and pop. So would you say that you are trying to introduce polka and Slovenian heritage and music to younger people?
Absolutely. I think, you know, it's interesting. America obviously is so much, like Australia, you know, so much bigger than Slovenia. And honestly, nobody had ever really, once I moved away from Cleveland, except for the pockets of like St. Catharines, Ontario, or there's a little bit in Colorado and a little bit in Milwaukee, there really wasn't the Slovenian heritage nationwide in America. So when I moved to Nashville and it was mostly country music and I was playing this new instrument and I was able to share a little bit of my culture, people became more aware of, I would say, Slovenia in and of itself and the music that I played. But I also knew that I couldn't just do traditional. I mean, trust me, the Slovenian traditional music is near and dear to my heart, and that's what is in my soul. But I knew that in order to get that to a broader audience, I had to expound on even my what I played with the button accordion. So yes, we started to mix it with a lot of country styles and different lyrics and different guitar and different drum beats to try to make it appealing to a younger audience and a new audience.
And you were nominated for Grammy 5 times. How is that? That must have been such an honor.
It's awesome. I was so honored that the Grammys acknowledged polka music. You know, this music that came from my heritage and my grandparents' homeland. I was just so honored that the Grammys acknowledged that style. And even though I have not won a Grammy, honestly, to be nominated 5 times is just this really great honor. And I hold that near and dear to my heart for sure.
Drage poslušalke, spoštovani poslušalci, poslušate slovensko oddajo na radiju SBS danes v soboto 25. aprila, ko v Avstraliji praznujemo tako imenovani Anzac Day. In gostim prav posebno gostjo, vsestransko glasbenico, ki je bila nominirana za nagrado Grammy v Združenih državah Amerike kar 5krat, je avtorica in igra na diatonično harmoniko, to je Lynn Marie Hrovat. So Lynn Marie, I was just thinking about when we met this morning, and when did we meet and how did we meet?
Yeah, I had come to Slovenia in 1996. I had been asked to be a guest of the Lois Isla Christmas show that they were doing in Otoczyc. And so I came to Slovenia, and I remember I felt so alone. You know, I didn't speak the language at all. And I think I was backstage, and Katrina, you were there singing, I think, with your family. And we were just sitting backstage, and I realized that you were a young person and you spoke English. And you changed that whole night for me, because then I just remember grabbing your hand and taking you around and saying, please translate for me, please translate for me. And you translated everything, and it made it such a more enjoyable evening than it ever would have been. And I never forgot you. And I remember, I think I had written your name down on a piece of paper. And I was coming back to Slovenia I didn't come back again to 2005. And I think at that point, I was coming back to celebrate my 40th birthday. And I think I found that piece of paper with your name and maybe your email. I'm not even sure if we had email back then, but I remember somehow reaching out to you and saying, I'm not sure if you remember me, but I'm coming back to Slovenia and I would love. And I think that's how we ended up staying in touch.
Yeah, that's true. Well, in this day and age, it's easy to stay in touch with all the social media. But back then, yeah, it was mostly just letters and maybe phone calls. But I do remember that night as well when we met, because I so desperately wanted to practice my English. And when I watched you on stage, I think it was a rehearsal, and I thought, oh man, this is such an amazing, amazing woman that you can really see that she loves what she does. And that sort of resonated with me. And I could say, yeah, you had a bit of influence on my music life as well, because I thought, you know, if you do something with your heart, if you do something you love, then, you know, there's happiness is just around the corner.
Wow. Wow. That's really powerful to hear, because I do love what I do. And you always hope as an artist that that's the most important thing that comes across. So to see, to hear all these years later that that was something you recognized is, wow, really powerful. Thank you for that.
You're most welcome. I would like to talk about your memoir that you wrote nearly 4 years ago now, yes. I think, Wrap Your Heart Around It. So you say that that's about learning to love the life you have. Now, that's a powerful statement as well. Could you tell us, how did you come about writing this book? And then you had shows, I think, all around US, and you toured in Europe. So what is that all about?
Yeah, I think everyone in life at some point gets, I say, something that they weren't expecting or preparing for. And it could be anything. It could be the loss of a job or an illness or the loss of a loved one or an unexpected job change, or, you know, so many different things happen to us in life and that we are not expecting or planning on. And for me, that was the news that the baby I was carrying would be born with Down syndrome. And, you know, I was 40 years old when I had decided to get pregnant for the first time. Well, I had a couple miscarriages, but when I got pregnant with James, I had lived such a idyllic life up until that point. You know, I had all these Grammy nominations, and I was doing the things I love to do, and this thought of raising a special needs child was just something that I thought I could never recover from, that I could never do. And I entered a deep depression. I just never thought I could handle being the parent of a special needs child. So it took about 4 years, 4.5 years. James was about, so I had my son, and his name is James, and he was about 4.5 when I finally got to the point that I thought, you know what? Everybody in life gets something that they might not be expecting or ready to deal with. And it's all about acceptance of what that is in order to move forward. I felt so stuck and so full of anger and hatred and why me? And I finally, when I had this moment where I thought, you know what, this is what it is, and I just need to embrace it in order to move forward. And I had a moment in my closet, which is where that title comes from, where I said out loud, and it doesn't matter if you believe in God or Buddha or whatever you believe to be a higher power, I said out loud, I just can't wrap my head around the fact that I have a special needs child. And what I heard back from the deepest part of my gut was, I'm not asking you to wrap your head around it. I'm asking you to wrap your heart around it. And I knew in that moment that life was about loving and not about figuring out every instance and every situation. And that was a real turning point for me, because I fell in love with my son just the way he was. I didn't have to fix him anymore. I didn't need him to be perfect so that I would look good. It was just all about being in the moment and just accepting what was. So that's where that title came from. And yes, I did do a one-woman play based on that whole story, and I did it off-Broadway in New York, and I did it in Los Angeles, and I actually did it in Poland, and I was trying to take it to Slovenia and Australia, and, you know, then life, other things happen, and it just didn't end up that way, but maybe someday we'll get back on the road with that.
Yeah, that would be amazing, hosting you down under, as we say. But that's very personal and very intimate to be sharing your life story with strangers, so to speak, with an audience that had never met you before. How was the feedback?
It was amazing. What I found was that people had so many of the same similar, maybe they didn't have a child with Down syndrome, but they were upset that they had lost their job, or their parents were sick, or they were faced with a death, or had to move, or whatever it was. And they were able to transfer my words of encouragement, like, look, once you quit, you know, here, I always use this analogy. You're faced with a brick wall, right? And you get this brick wall in your life, and you can spend days or years or decades trying to break through this brick wall. And instead, sometimes you just need to turn around. And when you turn around, your rest of your life is waiting. And you've just been staring at this brick wall, trying to get rid of it. And instead, looking at everything else that you've got in your life. And that's what happened to me. And so it was scary at first, but what I realized is that we're all human and we all have these experiences, and people, they said things like, you're so brave for sharing your story. But in the end, it gave me hope. It gave me more encouragement. And when I felt like they were encouraged as well. So it became real easy for me to share that story.
And you were awarded Best New Production by the United
Yes.
Solar Theater Festival in New York City. Wow. How was
yeah,
that?
Yeah, there were 100 new, there was 100 new one-person shows that year, and we won Best New Production. So that was a pretty nice moment, yeah.
So I think I feel that we could talk for hours and hours.
I know, I feel like that too. Oh my.
So I really appreciate you taking the time and talking to our listeners and sharing your story. And it was so nice to catch up.
You know, we are, my husband now, Eddie, and I are playing Slovenian music again as much as we can here in Nashville. And we head out on the road to different cities. And really, you know, he's 100% Slovenian as well. His parents were from, his grandparents were from the Novo Mesto region, which is close to where my grandparents were from. So his grandparents are from that region. So it's nice to share that with someone. So we talk all the time about trying to come visit the Slovenes in Australia and get to meet them in person. And maybe once all this COVID-19 stuff calms down, we'll be able to do that.
Let's hope so. And I'm looking forward to the day. Thank you so much, Lynn Marie.
Katrina, thank you so much.
Želite slišati sorodne zgodbe? Prisluhnite jim preko Apple ali Google podcasta, preko aplikacije Spotify ali kjerkoli drugje.